Listening effectively, John A. Klein. Discriminative listening. The final type of listening is discriminative listening. It may be the most important type, for it is basic to the other four. By being sensitive to changes in the speaker's rate, volume, force, pitch, and emphasis, the informative listener can detect even nuances of difference in meaning. By sensing the impact of certain responses, such as "uh-huh," or "I see," relationship listening can be strengthened. Detection of differences between sounds made by certain instruments in the orchestra or parts sung by the a cappella vocal group enhances appreciative listening. Finally, sensitivity to pauses and other vocal and nonverbal cues allows critical listeners to more accurately judge not only the speaker's message, but his intentions as well. Obviously, many people have good discriminatory listening ability in some areas, but not in others. Our middle daughter, Nanette, has always been very adept at picking up minute differences in a person's voice that might signal feelings. She has a gift for discriminating and applying what she hears to relationship listening. But her ability to discriminate among the different sounds that come from an automobile engine are practically nil. One weekend, she pulled into the driveway, fan belt squealing. I said, "Nanette, can't you hear that? You're wearing out a belt. You're lucky you got home." "Oh, that," she said. I wondered what that was. I had no idea. Although discriminative listening cuts across the other four types of listening, there are three things to consider about this type of listening. Number one, hearing ability. Obviously, people who lack the ability to hear well will have greater difficulty in discriminating among sounds. Often this problem is more acute for some frequencies or pitches than others. For example, a person may be less able to discriminate when the sound is coming from a bass voice than from a higher pitched one. Number two, awareness of sound structure. Native speakers become quite proficient at recognizing vowel and consonant sound that do or do not appear at the beginning, middle, or end of words. For example, a listener might hear "this sandal" when the speaker has said "this handle." But since English words do not begin with "b," one would not mistake "this bean" for "this bean." Attention to the sound structure of the language will lead to more proficient discriminatory listening. A person who pays attention to sound structure would recognize that a rapidly spoken "I drank it first" would mean either "I drink it first" or "I'd rank it first." Recognition of the two meanings would cause the listener to seek clarification. Number three, integration of nonverbal cues. The previous chapter pointed out how action, non-action, and vocal factors were important to understanding messages. Nowhere is attention to these factors more important than in effective discriminative listening. Words don't always communicate true feelings. The way they are said, or the way the speaker acts, may be the key to understanding the true or intended meaning. Effective listening, whether informative, relational, appreciative, critical, or discriminative, requires skill. In some cases, the skills are the same for various types of listening. In some cases, they are quite different. The next chapter will give you the guidelines for better listening. It will also tell you which skills are especially critical for each type of listening.